Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, are you glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. Whew, I'm glad that I came to church today. Oh, something's happening this weekend. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you guys hear that when we were singing, though? I don't know if you heard. It sounded like 10,000 voices when I was up here. Praise the Lord. And the Lord was just revealing to me that that's what happens when the body comes together. Whew, hallelujah. Whew, we need the power of God in our lives. Jesus, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Got a message to preach?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. And maybe, I know, maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about right now, but you just need to come up here and stand because it's, whew, praise the Lord. God is good, amen? Ah, amen, praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament when the priests were in the temple, when the Holy Spirit came in, that the temple filled with smoke and that the priests couldn't stand for the anointing. And that's exactly what it feels like in here right now. It feels like I'm just doing, I couldn't even get through prayer, praise the Lord. And it's just, the power of God is here to meet you today. So if you trust Him and you came expecting, I believe that you'll receive something. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I believe in a practical, simple faith, practical, simple Christianity. And, you know, the goal of my ministry, the goal of what we do is to lead people in that way, to bring people into that place of, of true, of being able to understand and connect to the Word, amen, and connect to God and to be able to experience what God truly has for them. Not that you just sit there in those seats and hear words from some preacher and, you know, some of them just mean something, some of them may not, and, you know, you just still don't know what to do with life. The purpose of the local church is to change the lives, amen? But you know, the changing, of course, is the power to change is of God, but the ability to receive that is of you. And so we need to learn things in such a way that we can live a changed life, amen? Live a different life. I always say this, and I'll say it again, I'll say it probably until Jesus comes back to receive us all, that if a Christian lives year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, and there's no change, it's the same thing, there's something off in the mix, and it's not God's mix, it's their mix, amen? Praise the Lord. And so we always endeavor to preach the truth. We want to preach the truth, but we want to preach things in a way that help people, amen? And today's message has been on my heart all week, and so I'm really excited to get to it. Today's message is called Revelation Knowledge. Amen. And some of you might be sitting there saying, well, that isn't very clear to me what that is. Well, we're going to make that clear to you. Amen. Because one of the most important things that you can know or that you can have is revelation knowledge. Now, we often think that knowledge is important. Knowledge is important. But, you know, knowledge in certain things, you know, if you know how to, like if you know how to put something together, if you know how to build something, well, that's good. But revelation knowledge takes you a bit further. With God, we don't need to just know that He's done something. You know, so many churches, so many religions will, or denominations will focus on that God exists. And they'll talk about, you know, God and Jesus and what He's done for you, and that stuff is important, but we need to go further with that. It needs to be more than just that to us. We don't just need to know that God exists. We have to understand. We have to experience God. That is what we're all called to. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was saying it this weekend has been, if you weren't in the Corey service last night, you'll just have to take our word for it. But it was really a wonderful service. Me and just before I got up to preach and completely changed the message into something that I wasn't planning on preaching. Amen. And there was a lot of direction. But, you know, before this, and I didn't say this, but when I got up to pray, I was aware that Jesus walked into the room. In fact, I saw in the spirit that Jesus walked into the room and was walking around to different people in the room. And He was just inspecting His church. He was just looking at them. He wasn't mad or He wasn't angry and or that, but I just saw that He was just looking over His church. Yeah. He didn't tell me what he was looking at. He didn't say that. I didn't have that kind of interaction with him, amen. But I knew that it was real. And of course, at the end, there were some more things that happened in that realm, and to the place where I was even speechless and I couldn't talk. For a time. But you know, I wouldn't have known those things. I wouldn't have known how to receive those things if I hadn't been taught about the revelation now. See, we can be taught that God exists, but it's a whole different standpoint to experience that God exists. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So at some point I might venture away from this pulpit, but right now it's aiding me quite practically. Amen. So you can study to get knowledge. That's something anybody can do. You can read the Word of God and you can learn the Word of God. You can recite the Word of God word for word. You can learn that way, and that's called knowledge. You can know what the Word of God says. But revelation knowledge only comes through spending time with God. Revelation knowledge only comes when you've been in the presence of God. Revelation is when it becomes real to you. See, it's one thing for me to tell you something. It's another thing for you to experience it. Amen. I you know, I've been telling my kids for years, we've been trying to exhibit that we have a good marriage. It's one thing to tell them that we have a good marriage and this is what a good marriage looks like. But it's another thing for them to experience what a good marriage looks like. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's the same thing with God. It's one thing to talk about God's goodness. It's another thing to experience God's goodness. The Bible tells us that he who is forgiven much loves much. And what that means is he who understands that he is forgiven of much, that he who has the revelation that he has been forgiven of much, therefore loves much. And that's exactly the type of person you see before you today. I've been forgiven of a lot of things, a lot of sins, a lot of past the Lord has removed from me and made non-existent anymore. Amen? And aren't you glad? Hallelujah. It's different to experience it. And there's a lot of people that have received God's forgiveness but don't experience God's forgiveness. If you're sitting there today and you struggle with life, you struggle with things, the difference, what's going on in your life, and maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, what's happening is you aren't having revelation of God's goodness and his forgiveness and that he set you free. You only know it. And so we need to get to the place where we have revelation of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. First step to do this, the first step to get to revelation knowledge is not difficult. It's not hard. It's maybe one of the simplest things that we can do, and it's just simply to desire it. Desire to know God more, because guess what? He desires that you know him more. Our God is so good that he doesn't just desire that you get certain things. He desires that you know him. He wants a relationship with you. He desires that. And if you will desire it, truly desire it, then you will get filled. The Bible tells us this. The Bible's very clear about it. That's not the specific message that I'm going to. But if we desire to know God, amen? But part of desiring to know God is to lay down what we think about God and to try to understand God by what he wants to show us. Now, a lot of this still may seem... it may seem foreign to you. It may seem like something. How do you even get there? You just have to have a desire. Right. I want to know this God more. When I say something, when I say God is supernatural, you may not know what supernatural is other than it's more than natural. Right. You know what natural is. You experience natural on a day-to-day basis. Right. Supernatural isn't that hard. It's more than natural. It's better, we'll say this, it's better than natural. When we're talking about it on God's terms. Of course, the devil, the satanic realm is supernatural too, but that's not better. But we're not seeking after the devil. We're not caring to know him more. In fact, the flesh, what the flesh leads us to quite often is just to know that measure of supernatural more. In fact, many people have revelation knowledge of evil supernatural. Yeah. And they don't even realize that that's what it is. Praise the Lord. We experience that in our nation daily. We experience it as we watch the news. Of course, we get appalled by things. And one of the hardest things sometimes as a Christian is to remember what Paul told the Ephesians, that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against those who are rioting. Our fight is not against those who disagree with us politically. Our fight is not against those who hate us. Our fight is against a supernatural, amen, entity that's not good. But if you desire to know God, if you will desire, if you will, and you start thinking about how do you desire anything? Well, it's easy to desire some things, but tell me, have you ever talked yourself into liking something?
Yeah.
There's been something you talked yourself into liking before, I'm sure.
Sure.
Maybe it was a person. Maybe they're sitting with you today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Who knows? I mean, this kind of stuff happens. But sometimes, my wife had to be convinced. Now, there are certain things she liked about me. Amen. She liked my stunning good looks, and she liked my wonderful personality and all those things. You know, at the time, I looked a little different and a lot different, praise the Lord. And but she liked certain things about me, but she was already set. So, but I knew I had to talk her into liking me, amen? I had to convince her. You know, the Bible does tell us to convince and to rebuke and to exhort, amen? And so I did a lot of convincing and exhorting, amen? Hallelujah, to win her, but when she may have seen that, you know, it could be good things for her ahead, but when she got revelation knowledge of it, praise the Lord, and we were talking about that the other day, our life is good because we've followed that plan, followed the plan of God. Praise the Lord. And so God wants you to know Him. He wants you to have revelation knowledge. The way, if you want your life to change in any area, if there's something that you need to change, the only way it's going to change is through revelation knowledge. You know, I can tell you that something is bad, but how many have ever had kids? Praise the Lord. If you've ever had kids, you know full well. You can tell them something's bad all day long. They ain't going to listen to you. You can tell them all day long that something's going to hurt them. They're not going to hear you. You can tell them to stay away, and they're going to do it anyways. You can tell them no. You can threaten them and say, if you don't do this, this is what I'm going to do to you. And they still don't listen sometimes. Amen? Praise the Lord. Revelation knowledge is when they get a crack on the rear end, and then all of a sudden they find out mom was serious or dad was serious or some other form of discipline, amen, that is... we'll say effectively corrective, amen? Because I don't believe in ineffective correction. Like if something isn't being effective in correction, then it needs to be made effective.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And sometimes some correction has to be made more effective to certain people, amen? So however you have to do that, but you understand what I'm talking about, amen? Revelation knowledge is, oh, this hurts, this is bad. You know, if you touch again, when a kid, you know, will touch a hot stove up until the point when it burns them. And if it burns them and they keep going back for it, well, then we have to look into other areas because there's something else wrong. But we understand that revelation knowledge is when you know, I don't have to be told not to touch a hot stove. You know, I don't have to be told not to touch a fire or something like that. Although sometimes, you know, you feel like you're standing around one and you think, well, I could do this, you know. Yeah, I could throw that flaming stick or whatever, yeah. Again, a lot of kids, but sometimes that persists. So let's go to the Word. We're going to get into this. Revelation knowledge. Praise the Lord. Did I tell you guys to start that clock after my introductions? 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. The first step in understanding what I'm talking about today is you must know you. You got to know what you are. And I'm not talking about you if you're a man or a woman, or if you're, you know, black or you're white, or if you're tall or you're short. I'm not talking about that, but you must know you. You must understand that basically you are a three-part being. Amen? Right here, he talks about the three-part nature of man, which he says, and God wants to completely sanctify you. This is what he's praying for. Glory to God. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body. Amen. God desires that these be preserved blameless. So we must have an understanding of us. We are a three-part being. We are not just the flesh. We are not just the soul. We are not just the spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of these, but I'm going to tell you, you might be sitting there wondering, how does this have anything to do with hearing from God? It has everything to do with hearing from God. Because you have to understand that there's a process that takes that happens in your body all the time. In your mind all the time. There's a process going on, both spiritual and not spiritual, both natural and unnatural. Amen? And so we have to understand these things. Until we understand these things, we can't understand some other things. Amen. So I'm going to go in reverse order from what it's listed here. I'm going to start with your body. You know your body probably best. Anybody that doesn't know their body, raise their hand, and I will come up and kick them. And you will be acquainted with your body very quickly. Amen. I will come poke you in the eye and you will know your body. Amen. We are acquainted with our bodies. Our bodies are simple. Our bodies are here. Our bodies are the things that sometimes fail us. Our bodies are the things that sometimes, don't do what we want them to do. Sometimes they don't look the way that we want them to look. That's our bodies. We're all well acquainted with our bodies. Amen. The soul, praise the Lord, the soul is defined in Strong's Concordance is the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, aversions. In other words, the soul is your mind. It's the way you think, the way that you are, your personality, these things. That's what your soul is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we are told in heaven, of course, we are told in the Bible to renew our mind or to renew our soul. And this is an important thing. We're not talking about that today, but that is an important part of the process. Our soul is part of us. Amen. Our soul. So, I think about this as I think about my body. I think about the things sometimes that I can't do. Sometimes my soul isn't in line with the age of my body. One day I was out doing some landscaping at my house and I decided to move a rock. I looked down at this rock and I looked at it with an 18-year-old soul. Amen. But I tried to move it with a 40-year-old body. And when I did so, something didn't work right. And I felt a pop in the backside of the back, somewhere along the backside of my back. Amen. And I was okay then, but for the next few days, I couldn't even lay down was painful. It didn't matter. I couldn't get in a position that was comfortable. And so you understand how they work together. Amen. But now our spirit, the spirit is the power by which human beings feel, think, and decides. This is the spirit is the part of us that's born again. It's the part of us that connects with God. Your body connect with God too, but the spirit is really the thing that we're going to focus on. That's the part of us that when our body dies and we go into heaven, of course our soul goes with us, but it will be renewed. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And refreshed. You spend the majority of your life in your soul and in your body. Yeah. That makes me mad. That's the soul. It's the flesh. Yeah. That makes me happy. That's the soul. And that's the flesh. This feels like this. It's the soul and that's the flesh. Praise the Lord. You can have knowledge in your soul, but the spirit is revelation knowledge. The spirit is where things change. The soul is the thing that can get, your soul and your body are the things that can get addicted. The things that you can't control, the things that seem like are out of control sometimes, the things that aren't. But with the spirit is the ability that's inside of us to control those things. Yeah. Amen. Why do Christians get to a place where they can't seem to get out of certain trials? Because they never could learn to control the soul and the body with the spirit. They need revelation knowledge. When you read the word, you don't want to just have the knowledge. Knowledge of the word is good, but even more important is revelation knowledge of the word, to have the understanding of it, to have it in you so that when something happens, that's what flows out of you. That's why that's how the word can change people. That's the only way the word can change people. We've had this example in here before. I've had people sitting in here under the word. The word is good. The word hasn't changed. The word is preached. The word is truth. The word will change anybody's situation. Doesn't matter where you're at. But I've had people sitting in here and it's been evident to me while I've been preaching that they were receiving nothing of what I've said. In fact, you may have brought somebody in here. Maybe it was a family member that you were trying to get help, somebody you were trying to get saved, but they sit in here and they don't really want to be here. They only came because you made them to be here. Will that person receive anything? No. Probably not. Why? Because until somebody makes a decision in their heart that they want to desire God, that they'll have more from God, they will have nothing from God. Or should say they'll have very little. They can't access that realm. Why? Because you can't access that realm with your body. You can't access God's realm with your mind. You can only access that through the Spirit. The Spirit is our connection to the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can have knowledge in your soul, but the Spirit is revelation knowledge. We must practice being Spirit-led. I want to emphasize that. We have to practice being Spirit-led. Amen. It is the Spirit that resists sin. Yeah. It is the Spirit that resists things that are wrong. Praise the Lord. If you've ever gotten in an argument with another brother or sister or your spouse or something like that, all of that comes out of the flesh and the soul. Yeah. Yeah. And it comes out of the flesh and the soul. Actually, the Lord, one of the things the Lord was dealing with me in the shower today, and I may end up preaching this in the near future, so I don't want to go too far with it, but he was dealing with me about how we were created to be people that are influenced by our surroundings. Yeah. Why would God create us to be like that? Because that's the only way to give people free will. This is what the Lord showed me. I was washing my hair or my armpits or something. You know, the only way to get people with free will to help them or to be able to connect with them is to make them influenced by other things. Why? Because free will is ultimately, if you have free will in your flesh, it is always going to want to go towards what the flesh wants. Amen? So if you aren't transformed, so to speak, remember we talk a lot about that, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're not transformed, your flesh, like I look at people that are doing things sometimes and I go, in the world, you know, I look at them and I'll think, why would you do that? That's stupid. Like some people in the world, like I look at the way the world dates and I'm like, that's disastrous from the get-go. Yeah. That's why it's stupid when people bring that into the church. If you try to date or you allow your kids to date what they do in the world, it's stupid. Why? Because everything in the world fails. Yeah. What is that doing? It's setting them up to fail. There is a way to date according to, you know, the principles that are found in Scripture and stuff like that. That will keep them safe. That will build healthy relationships. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. And anybody who knows it, just if you don't believe me, look around. Look at the way the world builds relationships. How many of them are good? Why are there so many relationships that are bad in the church? Because many times they're building the same relationships that they are in the world. Christians should not look at things like marriage and dating the way that the world does. If you do, you're not a Christian with a renewed mind. You have to look at these things the way God does. God does not look at, God gave us marriage, which is the most incredible covenant on earth to understand. If we can't, listen, I'm going to tell you something, the truth. You want the truth?
Yes.
I'll speak the truth. If you can't understand the marriage covenant, you can't understand a covenant with God. I said, if you can't understand why God gave us the marriage covenant, marriage is not just about going through and getting this paper and doing this thing. It is making a commitment to another person to join with them as one before the Lord. It is a holy and probably the most holy of the covenants that we can take on in this life.
Yeah.
If that's what you're called to, you understand. Now, if you're not called to it, praise the Lord. But if you're not called to it, you're called to abstain from it. You understand? So marriage is an important thing. We're given that to understand our covenant with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if we do things the way the world does them, they will fail. And I look at, sometimes in the world, I'll look at people and I'll think, why on earth would someone think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Like I see a guy do something to his wife and I think, why on earth would he ever do that if he wants to have a happy life?
Yeah.
Like, listen, you can't marry somebody or have a relationship with somebody and then expect to still have your own everything and think that that's going to work out good. What is a marriage? Marriage literally means to join together. It's to weld together. It's to, the Bible says, two become one. You can't take two that have become one and then make them separate and expect it to be good. What will happen to the marriage? It will fail and fall apart. Why? Because marriages were not meant to be. It was marrying two things together, bringing them together for the purpose. God sees us. I mean, you understand There's a principle, obviously, that we all stand before the Lord on our own. But God sees the marriage covenant as one.
Yes.
Amen. You honor your spouse because God, that's what God has called us to do.
That's right.
Why did he give us the marriage covenant? Because the marriage covenant reflects our covenant with him.
Yeah.
Because he wants us to see us married together.
Yeah.
Listen, if you have a spouse that you never talk to or you don't have a good conversations with or good relationship with, how on earth do you think you're going to have a good relationship with God? If you can't understand the importance of the earthly covenant, how are you going to understand the heavenly covenant? That one you can't see, this one you can see, and God's given it to you. And he's blessed it, and he said, I will increase it. I will bless it as you feed into it. But you've got to decide to do that. Amen. I don't know why I'm talking about all this, but praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we have to, now listen, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect and always hunky-dory and everything is just, oh, you know, rose petals and butterflies and all this stuff. We have to work towards those things. That's understandable. But that will come through a renewed mind. Amen. The reason my wife and I have a good marriage is not because we've been more blessed. It's because we have revelation knowledge of what a marriage is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I was saying to her on the way to Corey last night, I hope this is okay. Praise the Lord. But it's helping us get there. And maybe we're not going to get all the way there today. And I'm not even going to fret about it. If we don't, we got it next week. Unless Jesus comes back and then he'll just tell you what I was saying down here. It was true.
Yeah.
Amen. But I was saying to her on the way there, you know, a lot of people make decisions based on how their spouse has been or what their spouse has been doing or whatever. You understand what I mean? And this, like, even if you're not married or you don't want to be married or whatever, like, you can still understand the principles of what I'm saying because they apply to more things than just this. Amen. But a lot of people make decisions based on that idea. Well, they were nice to me today, so I'll be nice to them. They weren't nice to me today, so I'm not going to be nice to them, or something like that. You know, stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's world thinking. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, we got to get beyond that. But the reason, one of the things that drives me in life is my marriage.
Yeah.
It's not my wife. It's my marriage.
Yes.
Amen. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. Because my marriage is good, and because it's a blessing to me, because I understand that it's the foundation in which God will do everything in my life, because I understand those things, glory to God, I'm not just preaching about marriage here today. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad. If you're not married, you want to be married, all those things, that it's beyond that. So see more than what I'm saying. There's principles in this. Amen? But I am talking about revelation knowledge. The revelation knowledge I had was this, and I had it for the first time yesterday about what is actually transpiring. My marriage, because of the knowledge of what it is, that covenant, that drives me to be faithful to my wife. It's not my wife that makes me be faithful to her. It's the marriage that does. It's the covenant. Amen. It's the thing that's built between us. The thing that should drive us to God is our covenant with God, that we have a covenant with him. You say, well, how do we have a covenant? Well, covenant is sealed with blood. Your covenant with God, if you've received Jesus, the only way to heaven, if you've received Jesus, then you have been sealed with the blood of Christ. And so there is your covenant. Amen. And so the covenant is, I will give all to you and you will give all to me. And that's what's built, what God builds on. Amen.
Amen.
My marriage is what keeps me straight on the straight path.
Yeah.
Not straight like, you know, the way it's used today often. I don't have a problem staying on that path. Amen. I don't have a problem staying on this path either, but you understand what I mean. But we understand that, like in a marriage, just like anything else, you know that every day isn't perfect, every week isn't perfect, everything that you experience isn't always perfect. But it's not about those days, amen? Glory to God. It's about what the covenant is. And so revelation knowledge is when you get understanding of that. See, you might be sitting there saying, I don't have that. Well, see, you have to desire that before you're going to ever get that. There's truth to that. You have to desire. You have to go before the Lord. You have to be like, Lord, anything in life that we desire, anything in life that we want to come to pass, if we want happiness in our life, then we have to desire to understand that from God.
Yeah.
You understand? It has to be given to us from him. When you understand that God wants you happy, when you truly understand that, then living life is a lot easier. Because when something makes you happy or unhappy, you can sit there and say, well, I know that ain't God. And I know it's not God because it's not making me happy. It's not a blessing to me. This isn't increasing my life. This is only detracting from my life. So I know this isn't God. See, that makes your thinking completely different. That's revelation knowledge. Understand. See, that's why it's so important to look at the God of the Bible correctly, to see him as he is. Because when we see God as he is, then we understand his word as it is, and we understand our relationship to it, and we can look at our own life and say, wait a minute, this isn't God life. So something's off in the mix. Now there's something I can fix. And see, when there's something you can fix, we got to get to that place where we have God's understanding of things. And again, it's not difficult. He's given us the word. He's given us the churches. He's given us pastors. He's given us other ministers that come in. He's given us brothers and sisters in Christ. He's made us all a body. He's done all these things to ensure. He's given us his son, and then he gave us, he marked it all with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And he said, I will bring all these things together if you will just listen, if you will be obedient. Come to me. Amen. That's what it means to draw near to God. Draw near to God with a desire to know who he is. Draw near to God with a desire to understand the greater things. Put away your thinking. See, what a lot of people do is they come to God, and I'm going to speak right to a lot of you here today. You come to God with, you want what God can do for you, but you ain't willing to let go of anything you brought in with you. You're like, I'm moving into your house, God, but I got my bags and I'm keeping these bags. What are these bags? I'll tell you what these bags are. It's your attitude. Yeah, it's your personality. It's what makes you you. It's your mind. When you come in to the house and you say, I want more of God, you come in carrying those bags. And I'm just telling you, we all done it. But you come, some people just won't put them down. Well, this is who I am. And you got, well, listen, God brings you in. Amen?
Yeah.
But he ain't going to leave you the same.
Right.
I'm just telling you the truth. You cannot come into the presence of God being a broken human and expect to stay the same. Because if you do, you're not going to stay in the presence of God.
Right.
Why? Because God doesn't deal with that mess.
Right.
He doesn't like just, you know, he doesn't like just constantly. He's just like, you know, God is patient with us. And he gives us a big space and time. But at some point, we have to realize the change happens with us.
Yeah.
God has already instituted the change. Do we connect to the change? Do we grab hold of the change? Do we say, yeah, I will be? Now, when I say you have to be willing to lay it down, it doesn't mean that you're not going to recognize who you are in the sense of, okay, now I'm a completely different person. You know what I mean? In the sense of, you know, I was funny before and now I'm just all serious all the time. Or I had fun before, kind of, but now I'm just, you know, never have it. That's not what I'm saying. That's all a fallacy. Created by the devil to try to get you distracted, influenced to not come to get what God has. Listen, if God created everything that's good, and everything that's good comes from God, that should be an eye-opening to us. God created all that's good, and everything that is good comes from him. Praise the Lord. No shadow, no variation or shadow of turning. So if that's our God, then we can't think that doing what he tells us to do is going to somehow lead us to not good.
Right.
To lead us to something we're not going to like.
Right.
Well, I mean, and here's the whole truth. If you're so happy with you anyways, then why are you here?
Right.
If you're so happy with you anyways, then why seek out God?
Right.
If you were just doing so good at life, then why on earth would you need any of this stuff? You were doing great.
Yeah.
You didn't need God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But you know full well, just as I do, you need God.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know you. You know you when you turn the lights off. You know you when you wake up in the morning. You know you when everybody else around you is talking and you're sitting there having thoughts. And you're like, dear Jesus, if they knew what I was thinking right now, they wouldn't be anywhere near me. And every one of you has had those thoughts, praise the Lord, and I have too. Sometimes I've had them in your presence. Sometimes you've had them in my presence. It doesn't matter. But see, we know we need change.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But here's the good thing. You know something else about you? So just in case you're worried about losing all of who you are, just in case you're worried about that, God made you.
Amen.
He designed you.
Yes.
He designed your brain to function the way that it does. Now, I'm not saying your corrupted brain.
Right.
There is a difference.
Right.
But he designed your personality.
Yeah.
He designed your bent. You know, there's in the family churches, they like doing, I don't like doing this, but they like doing these personality tests, you know, and they rank you into one of four categories, different kinds of personalities. And the only one I remember is because it's the biggest one I don't like, but it's called choleric. And the reason I don't like it is because basically the business around cholericism or being a choleric is that it's really black and white. Those are the people who are just cut and dry, black and white. Usually they're the jerks. That's the easy way to say it. And that's the reason I remember it the most. And they say that if you take this personality test that you are probably going to be one of four of these primarily. My wife and I are both equally spread about four, all four of them. So we had a little bit of each one of them. But, that's what I remembered about the most of that. But people, you know, they use those kinds of things as an excuse to be who they are and to embrace that. And it's not always a good thing. I tend to look at it like this. God has called us to be more like Jesus. Yeah. And so whatever he was, that's what I want to be. Yeah. Amen. And so regardless of me, regardless of my personality, I'm going to change. See, revelation knowledge doesn't resist that, but it embraces that. It says that's better. Revelation knowledge looks at something that's the difference between revelation knowledge and just knowledge. Knowledge tells you that something's right and wrong. Revelation knowledge tells you that's right or wrong, and that's what I need to do or not do, and that's what I'm going to do or not do. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So turn with me to Ephesians. My Lord. I ain't going to tell you what I'm thinking right now. Ephesians 1:15. Now many times, many days, you'll hear me praying this way, or at least part of this way. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, amen, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yeah. Now notice he's saying it's the spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. Yeah. In the knowledge of him. Yeah. You can have the knowledge of God without wisdom and revelation. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Wisdom and revelation are very important. They work together. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, is essentially what wisdom is. You know, a lot of people can have knowledge, but not the ability to apply it. There's a big difference between the two. Amen. I always love what my brother says, and I use it all the time, or he told me one time. He said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Yeah. Wisdom is knowing that it doesn't make a good fruit salad. Yeah. Amen? Or it doesn't go good in a fruit salad. Amen? We just know that that's not true, or that's true. You just generally wouldn't do that. It doesn't go good with cantaloupe, which isn't a fruit. I think it's a melon or something like that. And, you know, all those other. Well, okay, here's another one. A pumpkin is technically classified a berry, right? So is a strawberry. Amen? But there's a big difference between a pumpkin and a strawberry, isn't there? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I almost went on the pie thing, but I was like, no, pumpkin makes good pies. But there's got to be a lot of sugar added to it, you know, in order to do so. Praise the Lord. And it's actually squash that makes. Yeah, did you know that? The pumpkin pie mix ain't pumpkin at all. It's squash. There's lying to us about everything. You can't trust anything anymore. Yeah, it's the truth. Yeah, nobody makes pumpkin pie out of pumpkin. They make it out of squash. But it's called pumpkin pie mix. Well, why do they do that? Does anyone have any answers here? Wisdom says you don't ask too many questions about that. You just buy the mix. Amen? Glory to God. And just call it whatever you want. I'll eat it. So he's praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is obviously important to God. Right. Revelation is something that he wants us to have. Yes. He wants us to understand him. This is why we have scriptures that say, draw near to God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Yeah. Right. Which is near. Yeah. Another way of saying near. Maybe the King Jimmy way of saying near, praise the Lord. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Yeah. Resist the devil and he will flee. Yeah. Yes. Amen. You know, we're told these things because God's, he's trying to help us along. He's trying to influence. This is what I found, though. Whatever you're full of, the Lord was speaking this to me this in the last few weeks. Several times he's spoken it to me. Whatever you're full of is what's going to come out. So if you're watching trashy movies and listening to trashy music and you're doing trashy things all the time, I can get up here and fake it for a while. I can get up here and preach the word. But see, the thing is if I'm yielding to the wrong stuff at home, if I'm yielding to the wrong stuff in my personal life, then when I think I hear things in the spirit or pick things up in the spirit, they ain't going to be the right spirit. And I'm not going to know the difference. And so that's why it matters what we do and what we connect with and what we are around, what we fill ourselves with. There's nothing wrong with watching Netflix, but if that's all you do, then you've got a problem. There's nothing wrong with listening to music, even secular music. But if that's all you do, or if it's all the wrong stuff, it's going to go wrong in your life. You know what I found interesting? And all these apps that they have, all these social media things that they have, whether it's YouTube or like Instagram or anything like that, they've added this other thing called TikTok. And they added these like feeds that come up. And what these TikTok feeds are, if you don't know, be blessed that you don't know. But what they are is their TikTok is like quick videos, like maybe just a few seconds long. And then it goes on to another one, and then another one, and another one, and another one. And you have to participate in the sense that when it's over, you have to scroll or it just keeps repeating itself. But the thing that I started noticing is that if I go through my feed or whatever, if I've gone through my feed on my Instagram, and all of a sudden there's these, I pull them up to see what they are, and sometimes they're real funny, quick videos, and you find yourself doing that, and all of a sudden you find, and a half hour goes by, and you've just been watching video after, like 1-2 second clips. But you know what is interesting about, and this is why I bring it up, because I had noticed that there was a few of them that would repeat over and over and over. Not the same video, but it was people doing the same things to different songs, or to the same song. Different things to the same song, like a dance or something like that, or something goofy or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, I started, after doing this a few times, I started noticing that in my head, the song is just starting to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, and something will happen in my life, and I hear this, so just in the back of my mind, I just hear it playing. You ever get a song stuck in your head? But that's exactly what it does. And then all of a sudden, I started realizing that it's like drawing me to think a certain way or into something.
Yeah.
You got to be careful about what you put in. And the Lord started speaking to me. He said, what you fill yourself with is what's going to come out. That's why if a preacher, and I have to be careful of this myself, if I'm constantly in the news and constantly watching this and constantly watching that, I'm going to get distracted by that. And even though something I'm saying may be true, it's not what the Spirit had me to say. And I've done that before. I've done that in the pulpit before. And I've repented for it as well. See, we have to be careful about what we allow in.
Yes.
If we're allowing things in to saturate us and to become to the point where it's controlling and changing who we are, yes, then we're being influenced in the wrong way, even by something that's completely, in many respects, could be innocent.
Sure.
Amen?
Yeah.
But you know this, anything can be taken to extreme. There's nothing wrong with drinking a glass of chocolate milk. But if you live on chocolate milk, it's not going to do you any good. Milk does a body good. Chocolate milk, not so much. Amen? And so you got to be careful about those things. And you understand that. Amen? So, but see, revelation is knowing that that's true and then being able to change when we see it. See, knowledge may be arguable. And this is why Christians... This is the reason why so many Christians have so many different viewpoints of the Bible. Because it's based in knowledge and not revelation knowledge. We can all read this and see different things in it. But the Spirit will give us the truth. Why do you think Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit? He will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit. Some people don't even know what the Holy Spirit does. The Bible says he will lead into all truth. That means that not everything that's necessarily being said around you is true.
Right.
Do you know that I could say things that aren't true?
Yeah.
Do you know that I certainly have said things that weren't true?
Sure.
Not truth according to Scripture.
Yeah.
I absolutely have. Anybody, we're all earthen vessels, anybody is going to do that. Yeah. The goal of a human or a Christian should be to eliminate as much of those untruths as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And Jesus proved to us that there is a way that one can live. One can live in such a way that they lay down all that stuff. That they don't do that, amen?
Yeah.
My goal, my desire is to be accurate. be accurate according to truth. But it can't just be according to the word. It's also got to be according to the Spirit. This is why dead religions, dead denominations sometimes cause more problems, because although they have although they look like their truth, there's no real spirit there. And I also want to warn you on the other side of things. There are some religions, especially in the charismatic and the Pentecostal camps, where people have embraced too much spirituality and not enough truth. And they've gotten into error doing so. And so they're hearing things from God. They're hearing things. They're told things from God. But yet it's not actually God. They're hearing spirits, but it's not the Lord. And the Bible does tell us that the devil can appear as an angel of light. So if you're not somebody who has revelation of truth, when the devil appears to you and you think it's God, you won't have any idea that it's not. How do I know that? Because when it's God, there's change. I said, when it's God, there's change. If the Spirit speaks to you and there's no change, or you do that thing and there's no change, then it wasn't God. Just telling you. I'm just telling you. If all of a sudden you're like, oh, the Lord told me to buy this, and you went and bought this, and all it did was cause you all these, guess what? God didn't tell you to buy it. You were listening to the wrong spirit. This is why it's important to be connected with other people. Because when you're by yourself, you come up with all kinds of ideas on your own. But when you're connected to other people, when you're connected to other people who are right, or being right, or attempting to be right, amen, between the lot of us, we can get something figured out, amen? That's why God has called us together to be a body, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it's just what it is, guys. I can't even say it because you know what I'm saying. And you know what I'm thinking. But it's just going over the same ground over and over again. What I'm talking about is my message. I just don't get very far in it. Okay, so he wants to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of him. So there's revelation and there's wisdom to be had in that knowledge.
Yes.
So we know that.
Yes.
So there's wisdom to apply to. Wisdom is what makes somebody successful in life.
Yeah.
What did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. God said, because you asked for wisdom, I will also make you rich.
Yeah.
Do you believe that God would only do that to Solomon and not to the rest of us?
No.
There's a whole other message. I had a message I was supposed to preach last night in Corey about the and what they're supposed to do and what it means to be rich and all those things. And just to give you a little hint, you are rich in God's eyes, regardless of where you're at. And until you see that, you don't have revelation of it. Revelation is the knowledge that it doesn't matter. Listen, like I had this come to me. I'll just say it like this. If I gave you $1 million, you'd be really happy. But you could go out and you could waste that $1 million. You know, a lot of winners. I forgot what the is, but a high percentage of lotto winners end up broke within like 5 years or something like that. So some of them even bankrupt. A lot of them have mental issues afterwards and stuff because of all the things that have gone on and stuff. But if I said to you that I was going to supply every need that you ever had, you might not be as excited about that.
Wow.
You know, if I just said it that way. But you know, God said that.
Yeah.
God never said he's going to make you a millionaire.
Right.
He never said he'd deliver you $1 million. But he said, if you follow me, I will supply every need that you ever have. Glory to God. What's better? Yeah, having every, because why? Because God can have you do some pretty big things sometimes. If God's going to say, okay, Jeff, I want you to go do this, guess what that just became? What if he says, I want you to go plant, if God said, I want you to go plant 10 churches right now. You know the first thing I should think of? It's already supplied. If God said to do it, he ain't going to just tell me to do it and not supply for it. But what do? We sit there, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this happen? But God said, if you follow me, I'll supply. That's why we get in God's flow. Because in your flow, there's no guarantee to supply. Listen, the way they're spending money right now, your dollar is becoming worthless, more and more worthless. Everybody's excited about these stimulus checks, but let me just help you with something. Have you noticed how expensive milk is? Have you noticed how expensive gas is?
Yeah.
Guess what all this stimulating is doing?
Yeah.
Making it cost more for you.
Yeah.
So you might have a lot more money right now to spend in a minute. You just got that $1 million check and you said, woohoo, look at me, I'm rich. I got all this money. Look what I can do. But you know what it just did? It's just costing everybody's in their life.
Yeah.
They'll soak it out of you here and there. Don't let anyone tell you that something is free. There's no such thing as free. And if you received it like that, you are a fool. You are someone who has no revelation knowledge, no knowledge of what Scripture says. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. What does that mean? You work and then you eat. You don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's the way that it is. Put your hands to the plow. The reason that so many people, like I just read an article on this today. You want to hear about New York City? They are having horrible issues. We love going to New York City. We want them to get it right because we want to go back. But they are having all kinds of issues. And the issues that are being caused are not even because of the sickness. It's because of what's happening in the economy. First, they shut down all the restaurants. And then they start giving people all this money. They give people free unemployment. And all these people are just getting a free wage. You know what the restaurants are saying now? We can't find people to work. Why? Because they're sitting home on their duffs, getting fed by the government. They don't care about coming to work. What does it do? It makes people invalids. It makes them lazy. It makes them not produce. And what do people that don't produce do? They don't produce anything for the kingdom either. We have to have a desire to be godlike. It's revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge says there is no freebies in life. Anyone who's offering you a freebie is trying to stick it to you somewhere else. And if you don't believe that, you are a fool. I said you are a fool. There is no such thing as freebies in life. The only free gift is Christ. I said the only free gift is Christ. But after you receive the free gift, guess what God requires from you if you don't believe me? We're in Ephesians. Let's just look on over there. Where is it? Chapter 2. Yes. We'll start in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You weren't saved because of the things you've done. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. So God calls you to himself, and then he says, now it's time to work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, around in there, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah. But he didn't say there wasn't a yoke. Right. He didn't say there wasn't a burden. In other words, he says, I'll make it easy on you, but I'm going to give you something to do. You can't be an idle Christian. Revelation knowledge tells you can't sit there on your duff being an idle Christian. You got to do something. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love using this example. I didn't expect to. I don't need to get any further because I got another week to come unless Jesus comes back and he'll tell you the rest of the story anyways. Amen. Justin Thorpe, many of you know him, Reverend Justin now. Praise the Lord. I had him in this pulpit not too long ago. He helped build this church. But I'm going to give you a little story of what he did. He left a job because the job that he was in that was requiring him to do things that his conscience would not allow him to do anymore. Yeah. And so you know what he did? He went with his conscience and he left his job. He had a family, he had a wife, had kids, and no guaranteed income. And you know what he did? He said, I'm not going to just do nothing, I'm going to volunteer. And he didn't volunteer for the Humane Society, he didn't volunteer for the local soup kitchen. He said, I'm going to volunteer at my local church. And that's exactly what he did. Praise the Lord. Actually, and it happened before then, too. It happened twice in his life, I saw. It was amazing. Because one of the times he was volunteering, I was working for the Jamestown Church. He came to volunteer for me. And as he was sitting there volunteering for me, somebody called me and said, hey, you don't happen to know anybody who needs a job, do you? That's good, that you can trust? And I said, I just happen to have a guy standing right here with me. Like not even a week after he was unemployed. That was the first time. But this is the second time after he left that job. He said, I'm going to work for the church. And so he did. So we were working on the Erie Project, getting that church going. And that's exactly what we did. We were working up there. We were putting in long hours. We were doing what was necessary to be up there, get that church going. And then afterwards, we finished that. And we immediately went into this project. And he said, it's on my heart to help you with this project. So I'm going to keep doing it. The whole time, he has no income. But you know what the Lord provided for him? By the time the end of the project was done, he provided him with a job that he was never qualified for. There was no way that he should have been able to get it, but they created the job for him, and it paid him significantly more than he had ever made before. Why was that? Because he was faithful. He had revelation knowledge that he wasn't just to sit there and to watch TV all day eating chips and letting somebody else pay front the bill. That is not what God has called us to. Amen? Praise the Lord. Revelation knowledge. We're going to go on further. I believe the Lord will let us keep going on it because there's more that we have to get into here. But make a mark for me. We ended in verse... Yeah. We ended in verse 17. So next week we'll try to pick up right there where we were. Glory to God. Because this is something we need in our lives. Yeah. Revelation knowledge is what will change you, which opens the door to hear from God and His power can flow through your life. I am going to give you one clue, though. I'm not going to leave you on that. It doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. Revelation knowledge isn't just something, oh, you know everything instantly. It doesn't happen that way. It's a process. But God is good to work with us through the process. And if you'll be faithful, if you'll truly be hungry, if you'll truly desire, He will lead you into that place. And along the way, He'll teach you lessons. You will pick up things. You will increase. Sometimes it may look like you decrease, but you won't be lost because you're always following Him. Amen? Revelation knowledge. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited. I wish it was next Sunday already. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord, because I'm excited about what God has for us.